Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays on the Score.
As the Cubs are interviewing managerial candidates, there is more going on in baseball. We've got changes to the ball as it's not flying all that far, and we've got a very serious issue developing out west as well. Here to talk baseball with us is a guy who I described as an absolute must follow on Twitter for a lot of reasons. So yeah, you got to be ready for stuff that doesn't have to do with sports or baseball. I'm here for all of it. He is Craig Calcaterra. He is the lead baseball writer for NBC Sports on Twitter at Craig Calcaterra, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Craig, good to talk, man. How are you?
Good to talk to you too. I'm doing great.
So, obviously, there are a lot of questions surrounding the Angels and the organization right now. I think that's probably the best place to start it, Craig. What sorts of questions would you be asking first if you're, you know, I guess anybody, and Major League Baseball, law enforcement, columnists? I mean, there are some things you need answered right away as it concerns the death of Tyler Skaggs.
Yeah, I think the first question that anyone has to ask, especially if you're with Major League Baseball, is, why are we just hearing about this after he has died? Major League Baseball has the joint drug agreement between the union, the teams, the league. It's very clear on what you do if a team or a team official is aware that a player has a problem with what they call a drug of abuse, which includes opioids. You have an affirmative reporting requirement to Major League Baseball, and it's not to get the guy in trouble. It's not to bust somebody. The idea is not, oh, I got to protect this guy by not turning him in. They have treatment programs. They have medical professionals. They're designed to give Major League Baseball players help if they have a problem with addiction. That system has completely failed with the Angels. It completely failed with Tyler Skaggs. If what this Eric Kay gentleman with the Angels is saying is true, multiple people knew about it, including himself. He's a high-ranking Angels official, and no one took any steps to help Tyler Skaggs.
The key being high-ranking Angels official, too. We've covered any number of these stories. Hell, I covered football for a long time, and there's almost always that assistant trainer or some low-level employee from whom you can get stuff. That happens everywhere. But for it to be a higher-level employee, a two-decade employee in the communications department, it kind of changes the geometry of this a little bit, because there are obviously people who had to know. And, Craig, it's reasonable to presume that Tyler Skaggs wasn't the only player who was involved in this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Eric Kay says, at least his lawyer has confirmed, that he told DEA agents that there were as many as five other current Angels players who are users and or abusers of opioids, which is just staggering. That's 20% of a major league roster. If that is true, we have an epidemic in Major League Baseball. But to your point, yeah, it's crazy that someone who is this high of a level in a team is implicated, is involved. You know, I'm old enough to remember the 1980s cocaine scandal.
Mm-hmm. Dale Barra, yep.
Yeah, Dale Barra, a bunch of other players got involved, Keith Hernandez, players like that. The big dealer, they've written books about this, the dealer there was the guy who wore the Pirates mascot, the parrot costume at Pirates game. He was the guy. With the steroids scandal, it was always a non-team affiliated trainer, some hanger-on, some general lowlifes who just sort of hung around the bottom fringes of a team. If this is true, if what Eric Kay is saying is true, not only is it coming from a top team official, he's participating along with him. He's admitted he's an addict. He's in treatment right now. And then you have to ask, I mean, and this is just speculation at this point, but it's rather reasonable speculation. What level are team physicians, team trainers involved here? I mean, these are prescription drugs. The number one doctor or medical professional that a baseball player is dealing with is probably a team doctor on a day-to-day basis, especially if he's dealing with pain related to playing baseball. So there are a huge number of questions that Major League Baseball should be asking right now.
It feels like this story is poised to get very, very big. Are you somewhat surprised it's not bigger already?
I am. I mean, there are a couple things that are going into that. I mean, one is practical. It's the playoffs right now. Obviously, the sorts of reporters who deal with this kind of stuff, who get comment on this sort of stuff, are covering the playoffs. They're not necessarily in a great position to be running all over and doing what they normally do. A lot of the people that they would talk to, their sources and stuff, you know, if they're not in the playoffs right now, they tend to bug out immediately after the season and then sort of come back into the fold, you know, into late November before the winter meetings. So I can get that on a reporting side, but also, let's be honest, Major League Baseball has no desire whatsoever for this to turn into a big story. If I missed it, I apologize, but I didn't see a statement from Major League Baseball. I saw the Angels release a statement denying some of Kay's statements. But the fact that this hasn't become a bigger thing is a little surprising right now. I mean, it broke Saturday afternoon. We've had a couple of days now, so I would think that some more would be coming out at some point.
What does this do to the candidacy of not just Joe Maddon, but any manager when you're talking about your role as the primary forward-facing media spokesperson, usually the most visible and audible member of an organization, and looking at the size, sort of just getting your arms around what you might be having to deal with in your capacity as manager?
And that's an interesting question. I could see it cutting a number of different ways. Your first impulse, and it was mine too when I saw this, was, oh, does Joe Maddon really want this job that he's reportedly going to get if he wants it? But then I think, okay, well, you know, Pittsburgh had that giant scandal. Jim Leland became the manager right after that, and obviously he wasn't who Jim Leland became later. Mm. But you know, it ended up being a place where within a couple of years there was contention, and it was a good job for him. I mean, I don't mean to reduce it to its basis. Can you still win in Anaheim right now with the Angels, given what's going on? Because there is a lot swirling around. But on one level, though, it might be at least a half a step removed from baseball on the field. So I don't think that would necessarily poison it. As long as the team is forthcoming, as long as Maddon or whoever else might want to take that job is aware of what he's getting into and feels like he has the backing of the team and you know, knows what's happening.
I was just wondering, Craig, Tyler Skaggs had gone through Tommy John surgery. Many, many pitchers in baseball have gone through Tommy John surgery. Opioids are, you know, pain relievers, I guess, or blockers or what have you. Are those two connected at all, the procedure and that sort of prescription? I worry because of the prevalence of the procedure, of the surgery itself.
Well, it's a bit above my pay grade to talk about, you know, like causal factors or anything like that between surgeries and opioid abuse. I mean, there are a lot of people that get into it for a lot of other reasons. It's a problem all across our society, as anyone who's read headlines the last few years knows. There are people that, you know, get into it because of pain management. There are people who get into it as an alternative to other recreational drugs like heroin and things. So I don't know that you can say for sure, but at the same time, yeah, it's an absolute fact that athletes, professional athletes, deal with pain and surgery on a level that is very, very different from you know, normal folks, for most normal folks anyway. And the fact is, if their bodies aren't working, if they're dealing with pain, they can't do a job that they might have a very, very small window of doing that might set them up for life. There's a huge number of incentives involved in, you know, being healthy, being able to play, even if you're injured, even if you have pain. I think that's at least worth examining if you're Major League Baseball, even if it turns out that, say, Skaggs or anyone else who's involved in this got into drug abuse for a different reason.
We're talking with Craig Calcaterra, the lead baseball writer for NBC Sports here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Going a little overtime today, over a couple hours here in Lawrence Holmes's usual time. The Cubs have announced that Gabe Kapler has been added to their list of manager interviewees. Many feel this is David Ross's job if he wants it, but they are still going through proper procedure. Joe Espada is talking to them today. What did you make of Kapler appearing on their list?
I was kind of surprised. I saw that a couple hours ago, and you know, nothing personal against Gabe Kapler, but you know, he is coming off, what, a week ago, he got fired, less than a week ago, 5 days ago or something, he got fired for not fulfilling expectations with a pretty talented Philadelphia Phillies team. You know, everybody gets a second chance at some point, or at least most managers get a second chance somewhere. I'm just surprised at how quickly, you know, Kapler's at least interview is coming. I know he's well thought of by, say, Farhan Zaidi of the San Francisco Giants. There was a thought that he might get an interview over there as well. Mm. Could be the Cubs just saying, well, you know what? If a smart guy out in San Francisco wants to talk to him and he was well thought of in L.A. and he at least got hired in Philly, we should at least talk to him before he comes off the market again. But I don't know. I like to let my failed managers cool or down a little bit after they get fired before bringing him back in.
We're dealing with another baseball, it seems, in the playoffs. It's just maybe not going as far, and the no-doubters have a little doubt put in them, I guess, over the last couple of games. Baseball doesn't seem to want to have this conversation out in the open. They've done the best they can to not talk about this with any sort of, I don't know, clarity. And when they have had to talk about it, it's with a whole list of excuses. Do you expect that to continue?
Yeah, I think they're going to be mealy-mouthed about it constantly, especially as long as the playoffs are going on. The last thing they want is for people to think what's happening on the field is illegitimate or it's rigged in some way. And the problem is, it's hard to escape the fact that, or at least the conclusion that it's not rigged. I mean, I really do think that they messed with the ball just before the postseason started. Rob Arthur, who is a writer and analyst for Baseball Prospectus, has been doing just amazing work on this. He's somebody who's been on this beat for a couple of years now. He's done statistical studies about baseball drag, how far they fly based on exit velocity, things like that. And it's just shocking. If you follow him on Twitter, again, Rob Arthur from Baseball Prospectus, just today even, he has shown and been illustrating how abruptly and unprecedentedly the change in the flight of the baseball has been just since the postseason started. We've not seen anything like this. It's hard to say that they did anything but switch baseball before the postseason, even if Major League Baseball wants to say they didn't.
I was screaming in my car yesterday as I was listening to the national broadcast of the ballgame last night of the Astros and Yankees. Because, you know, nothing against Dan Shulman, but they're talking about this as if it's still anecdotal. And it was making me crazy. Like, well, we sat down with Mike Shild, and he thought this, and Dave Martinez thought this. I'm like, come on, man. How about the objective science that's been out there? We know what's going on. We don't have to get some baseball manager's opinion on what he thinks he's seeing. You know, it makes me crazy. And I just want to know what they're starting next year with. Do we get playoff ball? Do we get regular season ball? Or
a little bit of both?
That's what I'm saying. If you know one's in the bag and you got somebody coming, can you make sure that your catcher looks back at the ump and says, you know, give me one of these balls or one of these? You know,
door number three, right?
I mean, everything's in question.
You know, even if you want to go with anecdotal, if you want to ignore Arthur, who has been analyzing this like crazy, if you want to ignore the other scientists, and there have been many who have actually done objective scientific investigations of this, like one of them is even an astrophysicist. She's been working on this. It's crazy the amount of just objective data we have showing this change in flight.
Yeah, Alan Nathan is right here at U of I. We've had Alan Nathan on, you know, to talk about it.
I mean, him too.
It's great stuff.
But even if you want to ignore all that, let's just say you're so science phobic you don't even want to think about that. Here's what you do. Watch Justin Verlander or Garrett Cole or some of these aces pitching. I can't count the number of times since the playoffs started where they throw a pitch, a batter hits one, elevates a little bit, they either go down to their knees or they immediately drop an F-bomb or something happens because they know, based on what's happened for the last 6-8 months of the season, that ball's going out and then it only goes to the warning track. Pitchers know. Players know. You know, when Ronald Acuna Jr. in the NLDS got all kinds of flack for celebrating his home run, turning a double into a single because it fell short, every single time he hits that ball during the regular season, that ball goes out. That's why it didn't go out, probably because of a different ball. I'm not excusing him for not running. Come on, you got to hustle still.
Yep.
But I trust the players to know what's supposed to be going out and what isn't, and their expectations have changed.
Craig, really appreciate it. Great talking with you. Really enjoy your work, too.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
That is Craig Calcaterra of NBC Sports. Good stuff.
He's a dynamite follow on Twitter. Really a must if you're a baseball fan. Really good thoughts and writings and whatnot.
Even beyond baseball. Because
that's true, too.
His legal background gives him a lot of perspective on a lot of sports issues, too.
The head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, is just about to have some words about the latest roster moves. Kyle Long hitting the injured list. All that good stuff. We will have it for you when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love the best.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Let's get back in the swing of things with the Bears. Head coach Matt Nagy met the media.
All right, so we're back at it. We had a good little practice today, which was good. Have a little 10-10-10. Obviously, everyone has seen the news with Kyle, with putting him on the IR. I think it's been a tough situation just because of, you know, what he's been going through and where he's at. But that's where it's at right now. And he's always been really good, to us and what he's done. And we just felt like that was, where he's at right now. And it's what we wanted to do. So that's that. We had Bilal, Ted Larson, and Taylor Gabriel were all at practice today. So that was good to see. No updates or nothing new with Akeem Hicks. And then same thing with Ten. He was out there with Mitchell. He was out there today. But, his situation, again, for us is just seeing exactly where he's at with with pain, where he's just all of us collaborating exactly to see where he is so that we can make a decision as to which way we want to go for this week, if he's ready or if he's not ready. So that's the injuries.
With Akeem, with the possibility for a return, where are you on the discussions of potentially putting him on IR with that door open?
Again, so working through all that, I think that's going to be important here in the next, couple days for us to decide, what's the best thing for that. I think, there's for us is you got to always start with the player, and then you got to see how is it for us as a team, and then you just put them together and figure out what's best. I think I have a ultimate trust in our doctors and Andre Tucker, our trainer, and then just talking to Akeem where he's at. But we'll end up making a decision, and I think there's, a couple different ways to go, and we'll kind of play it out here in the next couple of days.
And his elbow was dislocated on that?
Again, I hate to put exact where I really don't even know exactly what the details of it, but he was hurt pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think there was a singular injury incident with Long. How did that develop, and how did it affect his play as it progressively?
Yeah, I mean, there was just, again, there's wear and tear. He's been in the league a little while too, so you get some of that. But it's something that for him and for where we were at, it was the best decision that we can make. And so, I mean, I just, we have these are decisions that we got to make, and it was collaborative through all of us.
It was such a big thing for him to practice every day.
Yeah.
Do you ever second guess yourself and say, hey, maybe we should have babied him a little more and this might not have happened?
I don't necessarily think that. It would be easy to go that route, but that's always second guessing yourself. You know what I mean? So we did what we thought was best throughout this whole course, and I give him credit for he even going back to training camp, he had a really, really good training camp, all that stuff. And then you get to the preseason but it is what it is. It's a part of where we're at.
He played every snap in London.
Yeah.
How did he take this decision to put him on IR?
I mean, he understands. I mean, it's not something that, again, we do all this together, So, I mean, when we go through this stuff, he wants to be able to, be healthier, and it's where we're at. It's just been a something that's been nagging him, and it's nothing that's been crazy significant, but it's at a point where that's what we need to do.
Matt, what might a healthy right guard do for your running game? A guy who can physically, climb and block.
There's obviously you understand when a move like this is made, right? And then you have the issues that we've had with the run game. It's really easy to go ahead and just say, is it because of one person? I can clear it up and tell you right now, it's not because of one person. So I don't know where, you know, where that goes with whoever that next person is, but we know that there's a lot more to our run game than one person. For instance, you know, Kyle Long, there's a lot more to it than him.
How much do you feel that it affected Kyle on the field? In other words, like when you're watching him on tape and you didn't maybe know that there was an injury, how different did he look to you?
Well, it's there. I mean, Kyle would tell you, you know, that you can see it. There's plays that jump out where you just say, you know, that doesn't really seem like him. But we understand that. He understands it, and it's just where we're at.
Man, just to confirm, is he for sure out for the rest of the year? Kyle Long
is on IR, yes. Yeah. Yep.
That won't return.
Right. No. Correct. Okay. Yep. Nope. Yep. Yep.
How much time are you able to sit down this week, really focus on the offense, and maybe come up with some solutions to some of the questions that have been bothering you?
Yeah, Jeff. So I had a lot of time. What you have to do is you need to make sure that when you get time like this, and I tell the players this, get away and take your mind off of where things are. It's so easy as a player and a coach to get caught up in the trees and just be like, you know, you're especially on offense with some of the struggles we've had to try to get caught up in all that and consume yourself with it. There's a right way and a wrong way, and I feel like the past several days, really all last week, I've had a good balance of being able to to reflect, kind of reload on where we are. And I feel good right now with the stuff that we've done as a staff, what we've discussed, where we're at, and then looking for solutions. That's the number one thing here is for us, 5 games into it, we could be in a lot different scenario and we're not. And I promise you that what we're going to get from here on out is just for us as a team is guys that come to work every day, coaches that come to work every day that are positive, energetic, having fun, and just worrying about today.
Man, in the past, I know you've used a fullback before. Mm-hmm. Now you kind of have JP in that sort of that hybrid role. What goes into balancing whether or not to carry that on your roster as a full-time fullback?
Just sometimes where you're at as an offense, how does he help you? Is there things that he can do in the run game and in the pass game? He has a mentality to him that we like, that there's a toughness and he's somebody that is willing. He's a willing participant per se, and I like that. I like guys that go in there and have a little toughness to him. So he brings that element to us. And so now what you do is it's another piece to the puzzle that you got to try to figure out how it fits.
Last week, like for the coaching staff, I know the players get away, but you guys.
We were in for Tuesday and part of Wednesday. They were in the office Tuesday and Wednesday, and then everyone had off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So now there's a lot of discussions that go on, and but we try to tell everybody to get away and come back fresh.
For you personally, when you're Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, does your mind ever? Do you let yourself relax at all?
I don't think I do. I need to, but I try. There's times when I do. When my kids are at home and they're around, I'm a dad, and that's what they get. When they're not around, then I'm not letting my mind is staying put on football.
When did Mitch start throwing again, and how much has he been able to throw?
He was out there today, you know.
First day throwing?
Yeah, today, yeah. Yep, he was – He was throwing the ball, so I thought he looked good, but we'll see as the week goes, you know, exactly how he feels and where he's at.
How much did you guys let him throw it today? Did you have him on a pitch count?
No, I just go off of feel, you know.
You have a few options at right guard now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a veteran, a young guy you've been developing, and another guy in the practice squad, probably in Alex Barnes. What do you like about those three guys where they're at right now?
Yeah, they're all different. Like you said, you got one veteran and Ted Larson that's done it for a while. He started several games. And then you got, Coward, who, again, we, you know, transitioned over from defense. And then you got a young guy in Alex Barr. So between the three of them, I think it'll be fun for us to kind of work through what decision, where we want to go with that. And then whoever it is, let's go. You know, it's there's no looking back. communication process, and we don't care about any of that. Whoever it is, when you get in there, it's time to go.
I know it was a small sample size, but what did you like what Rashard did in that game when he had to come in on short notice?
He had an edge to him. That was pretty neat to see. Short notice, we talked about guys sweeping the sheds. I mean, he was a backup to the backup that game. I mean, Ted ended up starting, and he came in, and he had a nice little physical edge that I liked in the run game, in the pass game. But he's learning, but he works hard, and he gives us everything that he has.
And as you kind of self-scouted over the last couple days.
Yeah.
How much of that was on tendencies, like play-calling tendencies for you?
A little bit of everything. I mean, that's human nature to do that, because you want to find out, there's some things that just aren't going to change, but then there's some that are pretty glaring, and I think those are the ones where you got to say, okay, how do I maybe break that just a little bit so that the defenses can't always just say every time they're doing this or that to help us. So there was that, and then there was some other stuff too, but for the most part, it does go quick. The bye week goes quick, and it's here. But it's also good because I think for a few days you get away, and now you can tell there's a vibe out there on the field today with all the coaches, the players. You could feel like everyone's refreshed.
Yeah, we watched Kyle, a player who's this far into his career, this is his fourth split year in IR. How in tune are you with sort of the emotional element for him and the finality of this?
Yeah, I feel like personally, Dan, that's one of my strengths is dealing with these players and where they're at and how they feel. And there's a connection there that you need to have. The part of that makes it easier is when you run into these situations, you want to be able to have strong relationships with your players so that when there are tough decisions that have to be made, it's natural and it doesn't feel scripted. It doesn't feel like this is the first time I'm talking to you in months, So and then you get a guy like Kyle who's poured his heart and soul into this organization and has worked really hard to be dominant in a lot of areas. And we appreciate it. I've only been with him for a year and a half, but I appreciate the way that he's really gone about things. And so, that's just where we're at right now.
How do you describe how hard this is on him here at this point?
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, that you'd have to ask him and see what he says. But just knowing the type of competitor that he is and his care that he has for his this team, for his brothers, his family, it's not easy, So. It's just part of the process. So,
challenge for you as a coach when Akeem's never dealt with this before in his mm-hmm. career, while managing him, while also managing the 53 guys who are
Yeah, that's another whole deal as well. Is just how when somebody goes through this type of injury, how do you handle that? And that's his So personally, where am I at with him? But then also you have the roster side of it too. So just making sure that, all that kind of meshes together.
What is it?
I'm going to win one.
Yeah. Sorry. He's tried three times. Y'all keep getting them. Yeah.
In the last 8 days, you talked Monday morning about having difficult decisions.
Yeah.
Kyle was one of them, I presume. And, what did you learn about yourself, and how you navigated these kind of complicated things during the bye?
As far as decisions or just myself?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, well I think, it's a situation where for me, as the leader, everything starts with me, right? So with these players, with the coaches, it all begins there. I want to make sure that my personality and who I am never gets affected and never changes. And, we talked about it. There's a lot of things that have gone on this year in the first 5 weeks of the season that didn't really necessarily happen last year in the first season. So for me, I got to step back and look at the 30,000 foot view for me as to where am I at right now and how can I help make my part make us better. And whatever that part is, whether that's X's and O's, whether that's leadership skills, communication, whatever that is. So I feel like I have a good grip on that. And so we'll see where that goes. But that's to me where it starts. And so I had a chance to do that. And then as far as the decision making goes, again, that's whoever, there's a bunch of us that make decisions. But, those come and go, and there's going to be tough decisions. That's why I'm in this role right now.
That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy back to his routine of meeting the media. A lot of information in there. There was some news that we got as well while he was talking. Rashad Coward indeed got the start running with the ones at right guard today. Doesn't mean it's a final decision, but in that first practice, he was your starting right guard. Yep. Also from baseball, the Dodgers have announced that Dave Roberts will return as manager. They have announced that Rick Honeycutt will not return as pitching coach. The new pitching coach of the Los Angeles Dodgers is...
Yeah?
Mark Pryor.
Well, good for Mark Pryor. That's there's, you know, the picture of him, there's a couple articles up, and it's just the headshot of Mark Pryor. And it is really something. To see Mark Pryor look the way he looks like old Mark Pryor.
It's because that's what he is.
It's kind of a thing, though, for a kid like me watching that 0-3 team, the way I watched that 0-3 team, living and dying with just about every single pitch Mark Pryor threw. Ah, my God, that's just, man, time flies.
This segment is brought to you by Fast Park and Relax, indoor airport parking serving Midway Airport. Getting to the airport is stressful. Parking shouldn't be. Fast Park and Relax, a new indoor parking facility 2 minutes from Chicago's Midway Airport, is only $11 per day. Go to thefastpark.com for reservations. Their van will take you from your spot to your terminal, thefastpark.com.
So two things hit me from Matt Nagy's press conference today. We just got done listening to it. You know, we have the news. Kyle Long not expected to return this season. Rashad Coward running with the ones today. But nothing Matt Nagy said made me feel better about where the Bears are at right now.
Can't.
And that's okay, because my expectations going into this Monday press conference after a bye week, such as they were, weren't that he was going to fix anything. You know, because you and I have a conversation just about every Bears Monday where we listen to Matt Nagy, and eventually you feel a little bit better about what had happened if it were a loss or something like that. That didn't happen for me today. That's okay. The only way that this Bears team starts to make you feel better is by the offense going out there against the Saints and starting to actually make you feel better, starting to put together drives that last more than 7 plays and starting to get plays that go more than 10 yards and starting to get into a red zone more often than anybody, any other team would be great. I mean, right now it's just Washington that doesn't get to the red zone as often as any other team. It's Washington and then the Bears in terms of trips to the red zone. That's not good. And there's nothing he's going to offer you that, or at least not today, that makes you feel better necessarily.
Guess who's back today?
Is it Dan?
Yeah, they let him back in the country. Amazingly, he keeps leaving the country. They keep allowing him back in the country. But he's here. McNeil and Parkins will live up to the name McNeil and Parkins for the first time in a little while. We'll do transition with them in just a bit on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We thank German Bushrod for joining us today. It's like saying that name. We thank Rich Campbell, Bruce Levine, and Craig Calcaterra for joining us as well for our little extended show today. Zawoski, Gil, Diaz, the producers, Joe Ostrowski had the updates. Joe Sheehan will talk baseball tomorrow, cool. And we will have a Bulls conversation with SB Nation's Ricky O'Donnell, who covers the team from the Bulls beat as well.
Good writer. Like following his stuff. There you go.
Well, we will be talking about that. So, any other thank yous? Am I good?
No. We thank other people if you want. Thanks. You want to thank your internist, you know, for future work?
Not yet. Well, my internist isn't going to be involved. This will be the gastroenterologist.
Well, so you think. I mean, you're going to be pretty out of it. Anybody could be involved.
That's true.
As you know.
Yeah, that's,
you don't know the answer to any of that.
They just, whoever walks over, hey. You
but you
know,
I'm not working Wednesday either. I can't tell you what I'm doing, but I'm not working. I'm gonna go say hi, see what's up with you.
They're gonna be pulling out
peruse.
And get right in there and find all sorts of old bad sports takes and purge them from my system. That's what's happening.
God, but I hope so.
It's good for all of us. McNeil and Parkins are going to join the fray next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.